Hello, this is Kim for Kiss and Tell. And today we're gonna have the last week's episode of HBO Girls being reviewed again. This is for episode 8. And let me tell you, this by far might be actually my favorite episode of the season. I mean, I thought the... there's a lot of scenes that I like from the previous episode, but this so far, the quality of it, the script, you know, what it says about the character, man, I don't know where to begin. And so far, we've had a lot of, views on who the girls are, but this is the first episode when we get a real good glimpse at one of the guys. And today's episode is all about Adam. So here again today... my buddy Evan joins me in discussing this episode. So, Evan, what's your thought?
Oh, man, this was a fun episode because Adam is such an intriguing character. And I got to give credit to Lena Dunham, the whole thing, you got to give credit to her. The show is brilliant. But in this case, we started off the series seeing Adam in almost a douchebag kind of light. And I have to believe that that was intentional. Because now we're starting to see a completely different side of Adam. Well, maybe not completely different, but a side that I think for many viewers was unexpected. We get to see Adam being a boyfriend, more so than just the hookup. And I think that he's doing pretty good. I got to say, I was intrigued by some of the things that he did. And he was pretty darn charming, and Hannah responded in kind.
You know, you're totally right. I mean, this is the first episode. I mean, since the last episode, we're starting to see Adam shift towards a more of a boyfriend role, and he's starting to open up to Hannah in ways that we haven't seen before. So he's definitely starting to be more real, for lack of better words. It's like he's showing depth that I haven't known. And actually, the beginning of the episode was very funny because it's kind of foreshadowing the entire episode. Like, Marnie and Jesse asking him, well, is he really like philosophical and deep, or is he just kind of like, I mean, I don't remember the words they use, retarded or slow, you know? And that's exactly how I felt throughout the season. I was like, you know what? This Adam guy, he's pretty built for a guy, right? He obviously can get the girl, you know, aroused and everything else, but he's a little douchebag. He's a little slow at the cinema. He talks slow. He's very random in his conversation. And here it is, the girl's expressing exactly how I felt. So it felt very funny for me to watch the episode and unfold the entire theme. Is Adam the simpleton that we thought he was?
And the answer is no. We know that now. The answer is no.
Yeah. Oh, he's just a brilliant genius, right? So what I really liked about this is Adam unknowingly starting to involve Hannah in his life. And one of the first way he does, besides the whole sex scene at the beginning, right, is allowing
which was tawdry and dirty, and we would expect nothing less from Adam.
And actually, this is, as a side note, this is how you should be fucking your girlfriends, by the way. If you're not... and you're doing the making love all the time. And actually, this is how I remember myself to be when I was really, really young. I'm like, my idea of sex was like, oh, women want to make love. They want to feel special. They want to do all the soft kind of way. The candles and then the wine. I mean, whatever. I mean, think about cheesy romance. That was my idea of sex when I was like in my late teens and early 20s. But now I know, you know, that's just one way of having sex. You know, you have the days where you want to do it that kind of special way, and there are days when you just want to be that raw, animalistic kind of way.
And apparently some girls, i.e. Hannah, want to be called a late walker.
Exactly. But going back to the day, we're seeing him in his own natural habitat outside of his apartment. And... he's inviting her to see him at one of those tech demos. What is that called?
So I think he's doing tech, and I think that's in the theater world where all the technical aspects of the show get worked out. So they're figuring out where to place the spotlight and things like that.
Okay. And she's the only girl right there listening to him, watching, and she's slowly falling for him even more so than before. She's discovering a side of him that she didn't know about him. And she's as funny as it sounds, discovering the genius in him, the uniqueness that makes him Adam. And to me, that was such a great scene, just because from a dating coaching perspective, I like to remind people, you know, it's great to go on dates at dinners or at the bar or at the coffee shop. But one of the first, second, or third day that I like to do with girls, at least even on the first date, sometimes, is to include them into something that I call like show your life kind of date, show your life kind of activities, like tour of your life, for lack of better words. You know, take them on a tour of your life date, meaning you can still go to the coffee, you can still go to the dinner or whatever you original plan, but if you have a quick detour into doing something that is very real to you, that is maybe your passion or something that showcase yourself, basically, in an environment where people value you, where people like you. Like, let's say you're a dance instructor and then you take her on one of your dancing class kind of date. Or if you're a wine aficionado and instead of going to, you know, the dinner and ordering wine, you can show off, you know, your wine knowledge with that, but that's so generic, right? How about you take her to the grocery store one of these days and do a little mini wine tasting with her, right? I know Trader Joe's does those Fridays, I think, where they have a wine tasting event. Well, you can do the same thing, but it's part of your date. And the reason I think these are such great dates is because girls are used to guys taking them out on dinners. They are used to doing the generic stuff, the dinner, the coffee. But when you engage the woman into something much more significant, if you whether it's a sport that you enjoy or anything else, you know, they see you for who you are. They see let me get super cheesy here, the knight in you, the man in you, the guy on a journey, you know, and women love that.
They see you just being you. And you use the word show off, and I don't really think it's show off as much as it's just incorporating her into your life or giving her a window into who you are and a window into your life.
Yeah, it's basically a glimpse of what makes you you instead of just hearing stories about you from the conversation. It's one thing for me to say, oh, I'm a dating coach, for example, right? Oh, I answer questions. A lot of people, when they hear that about me, they get all curious and they ask me all sorts of questions. And the girls, some girls will get interested, some girls like not so interested. But it's another thing for them to see me, for example, pick up a client phone call and hear me coach for 10 or 15 minutes. Or for me to go do a podcast, or do a talk to someplace, right? They get to appreciate something completely different about it. Wow, you actually do this. This is kind of fascinating, you know. And I don't know what it is about these kind of scenarios, but it really brings you closer to your date. Now, going on that, you know, I think it also is a great segue to showing how the beauty of Adam as a man. I think, because here we can show that Adam doesn't cater himself to her that much. I mean, I'm not saying that to be, you know, a jerk and not take into account what the woman wants, but you can tell that he's not a muffin. You know, he has his own opinion, he has his own goal, he has his own dream, he has his own desires, and when he decides to stop the play and not do the play, you can tell he values something. He doesn't do this. I mean, it seems random to a lot of people, but he actually has a strong belief system behind it. He's like, you know what? I believe in art. I believe that sticking to your guns, I believe in pursuing your passion as honestly as it is and not compromising that belief. And as funny as it is, Hannah disagrees with him completely. Like, she's like, but it's you. You can show your talent, and even though it's not exactly what you want, you know, she sees something that he doesn't see. But at the same time, she starts to respect him much more than she has ever done before, right? She respects him for the man he's trying to be. And this is another theme that I think is important for guys trying to get better. It's like, a lot of the guys that actually come to me, he's like, you know what? They're just too nice. I mean, I don't mean nice in the friendly, kind of considerate kind of way. I mean nice as in, like, they're little pussies. You know, they walk around, they try to be, you know, too much like everything for the girl. They put the girl on a pedestal, and it just doesn't work out. So I think for guys who follow this show, it's a great glimpse that, you know what, guys who have things going on stay like that. They keep their life revolve around things that they are passionate about. Then they include the woman into that life. Now, how does that resonate with you, Evan?
Well, so what's interesting to me is that it absolutely does resonate. I mean, I think that a man needs to have his own thing going on and cannot make a woman the singular focus or the central focus of his life. And Adam doesn't. Adam makes his art and his craft the central focus of his life and is starting to incorporate Hannah into that. He takes her to the theater so that she can see what he's about. But he doesn't make Hannah the central focus of his life. But at the same time, he takes her contribution and incorporates her contribution into his life, as we see later on when Hannah, like you said, and accurately said, recognized something in him that he didn't see. And he processed that, and he took that, and he took it to heart. And he is walking the fine line, but he is walking it, and walking it well, in terms of sticking to his guns, but also being open to input. And later on is a man and says, you know what, I listened to what you said, and you know what, I do think you're right. It's not that he was compromising his ideals, but she showed him another perspective that he took into the mix and that he evaluated and understood for himself that, you know what, she had something there, and decides to do the show.
And you said something very nice here. It's like a man should not be defined by the woman that he's with. And I think a lot of guys, at least in the pickup industry, as far as I've been exposed to, is like they really try to show off to each other about the kind of woman they date, when they should be focused on, like, what is it that makes me happy and purposeful in life, and the woman will come along. Whereas, on the other hand, this episode again shows a very common theme in life, is that women likes to be defined by the kind of relationship that they foster. You see Marnie here really grieving over the breakup with her boyfriend. Granted, is there any reason for her to be really grieving? Technically, she's a hotter of the two. Technically, she had a lot more options if she really wanted to take advantage of her, of all her assets, basically, right? Yet, and she's the one who even wanted to break up with him. She's the one who decided, hey, you know what, this is not working. You know, he's too nice. He's, what was that in the diary? Like, he's smothering love, is killing me. I mean, you know, I mean, it's not her words, but that's basically the feeling that
she
had.
Yeah, that was it, yeah, about thereabouts, right? Yeah.
Yet, she's still mourning the loss of the boyfriend, and she's like, well, you know, and she's flipping through all these new pictures of Charlie with the new girl. She's like, well, I don't know why, but he could invited her, and that could have been me, and I don't want him to be without me, when she's the one who wanted to break up.
I think there's a good lesson here for guys as well, which is, you know, we put these attractive women on pedestals, and we think that they feel no pain. And the reality is it really doesn't matter how attractive somebody is. You know, people are people. And just because a girl is attractive or hot doesn't mean that she is immune from all the other pains and all the other problems that people, real people, have.
Yeah, and for me, what is great about that, again, it shows that, guys, you mean a lot to girls, whether you realize it or not. And this is in the context of a post-relationship, right? So in here, you know, obviously, as flawed as Charlie might have been in some aspect, he also meant a lot to her. Now, we're talking, again, post-breakup, but the reason I bring this up is I want guys to realize that you do mean a lot to girls even before the relationship. And for guys who are trying to learn to date, you have to recognize that, hey, you know what? You have something to bring to the table. A lot of time, guys ask me, well, why do I talk to the girl about? What, you know, why, you know, I'm shy, or I'm embarrassed, or I'm whatever. You know, I'm conservative. I don't know how to talk to the girls. Now, you have a lot to bring, because what you bring is your attention, your affection, your, you know, the kind of life that you have. You know, I mean, I can't say any specifics, but for lack of better, even the sex you want to give her is very unique to you because it's based on you. And that alone is some form of value you can bring to the girl. So when you go up and talk to her, don't be so afraid of like, well, what do I bring to the table? Ask yourself before that, you know, why should anyone be lucky to be with me? And if you can't answer that honestly and confidently, that means you have to work on your self-esteem a little bit before you really focus on what should I do while dating. So like, if you can't answer like, hey, you know what? Anyone would be lucky to be with me because I'm me. Then go talk to your therapist. Or actually, go get some more life experience. Because from my coaching experience, I would say a lot of the clients that I have who feel that way because it's due to one thing only. They haven't gone out enough. And I don't mean gone out with girls. I mean, they haven't experienced life enough. They haven't gone on enough vacation. They haven't tried enough adventures. They haven't tried to step out of the comfort zone or basically their family's bird nest. They do everything based on what they've known or learned from their friends' social circle as well as their family social circle, but they haven't stepped out of that. So you know what? If you feel that way, it's time for you to experiment things. Make a list of the 10 things you've always wanted to do in the last 10 years and start tackling them one at a time. I remember a few years back, I've always wanted to take some dance classes. Was I ever a good dancer? Oh, no. Not at all. But, you know, I was like, you know what? Let me do it. Not on 1 month, like, I'm going to take a class, $20 or whatever it is. I'm going to take one class and two classes and three classes. Did I continuing a long time? No, because I didn't have the means at the time to continue it or the time or whatever it is. But I did it. I did it. It put me in a new environment. I learned about a few things. And guess what? It gives me something to talk about later down the road. If you've always wanted to skydive, you know what? Don't wait until, I'll wait in a year or two or three when XYZ is in place, right? Do it now. Set it up for next week. Set it up for next month. I remember that a few years ago, I met a guy who was skydiving. It was the same thing. I told him, hey, you know what? I've always wanted to do it. And after 3 months, he challenged me on it. Kim, we have a problem, you and me. I'm like, what are you talking about? We're buddies. What kind of problem we have? We've never fought. Like, dude, you told me you wanted to skydive. Why haven't you done it yet? So he made me like schedule something like the very next 2 weeks, and I did it. That's how you live, because it gives you something to talk about, to share with people. And dating actually is all about sharing. You share part of yourself with somebody through stories, through going out on dates, through introducing you to the hobbies, other people that are meaningful to you. If you start looking at dating as a way to share yourself with people, you will take all the pressure away, because dating is all about you. It's really not about the other girl. Yes, it is in some ways, because you do want to discover who she is, but at the beginning, it's also about you.
You mentioned your friend, and you know, I just want to highlight the importance of men having other men in their life who are going to call them out on their shit and take them to task. And you can't have that. You know, I think a lot of nice guys happen to actually have a lot of female friends, but female friends are not going to call them out on their shit like a guy is going to call them out on their shit. And so in order to get good at this, you need to have somebody in your life, a strong man in your life, who is going to call you out and is going to hold your feet to the fire.
Actually, that brings a great point too, because I think that applies for women as well. I won't speak names, but I've noticed in some of my previous girlfriend's social circle, their social circle is all about when something bad happened, the girls rush to support the girl, like, oh my god, he was not great of a boyfriend, oh my god, you'll be okay, you know what, you're so much stronger than that, you'll be, you know, your life is so much better with, without him, without that, whatever it is that the issue is. But the truth is, how many of your friends, and I'm speaking this from my heart to both men and women, how many of your friends are willing to say the honest truth when you need it to be heard? It's one thing to be encouraging and supportive when somebody's feeling down, right? I mean, I know one of my buddies right now is having a hard time with his breakup, and I'm being supportive. I'm like, you know what? I know it's hard, you know, and I and try to, hey, you'll be good, you know. But at the same time, I listen for 10 minutes or however long it is that he needs to just be able to vent to me about his current situation. But there's a point in the conversation where I always flip it back on him. And I'm like, you know what? Have you actually thought about this? I mean, have you really done this or this or that? Have you really looked at this situation this way and that? That's the time when I call him out. Because the truth is, whatever situation you're in, whether it's dating, your work life, everything, you have some kind of responsibility in it too. Once you stop looking at things in a way that is just, oh, it's all, you know, I'm just better than all this, you know, and you start taking responsibility not only for the successes, but also for the failures, that's when you grow. Now, anything else you want to add to that? Okay, so going back to the show, I know this is a nice side rant. We see Marnie mourning, and then she goes out to obviously distract herself, and she meets this very successful guy. Oh, there were so many things wrong in this entire section. I don't even know where to start. I mean, first of all, I love the fact of the successful guy. I mean, the way he approached her was, I mean, I'm not fond of buying girls a drink right up front, but, you know, it works. I'm not gonna,
sometimes, yeah.
It works sometimes. And, but it's everything else that happens after that. I'm like, as I said, the biggest problem I have with this show is they have yet to show a male character with whom I really want. I mean, I like Adam a lot in this show. I really start to appreciate him more as a character, but I'm still not completely fully in with him, right? I'm not totally, as a guy, I'm not totally bonding on him just yet. But with this guy, man, what a loser. I mean, yes, he makes money, yes, it's a nice thing, but like outside of that, what is it about him?
And I think that he is emblematic of the frustration that a lot of successful guys feel, because we're told by our parents or you know, other people, that in order to get a good girl or an attractive girl or somebody, you know, you would want to marry, you need to be successful, and you know, you make a lot of money and look good and dress nice and do all the right things, and you got it made. And the truth is, that ain't the way the world works, especially if you don't got game.
Now, just to go back on what Evan said, I think all these things help. Being successful helps. Having the means to give a good time helps. But that's not what it's about. When you are out on a date, it's really about bringing the fun, engaging people, making people feel something. I always told all my clients, like, you know what? I want you to be able to be a force of nature in a person's life. I want you to be able to have people react to you. Be bold. Be strong. Be obnoxious if you want to. Be boisterous, whatever it is that you want to be, right? But don't be ashamed of making people react to you. A lot of people in this life, because we're so politically correct, right? It's like, oh, I don't want to offend somebody. Oh, I don't want to be pushed too hard. And for guys who put girls on pedestal, like, oh, I can't say that to a girl. You know, she's going to think I'm just in it for the sex. Well, you know what? What's wrong if you just in it for the sex? And what is wrong with you actually wanting her for sex? It should be part of your desire in dating her. You can't deny that side of dating, that side of going out with girls. So what is wrong with that, right? But in this scenario, going back to the guy, you know, the one thing I like about him, he's not ashamed of wanting her, but the way he approaches it is so creepy.
It's creepy. But let's leave him for a second and contrast him with Adam, because you did mention getting a reaction out of a girl. And in this episode, Adam is in the shower with Hannah. He's surprised. She thinks she's taking a shower by herself, but she turns around and, oh my God, there's Adam there. But not only that, not only is there Adam there, there's Adam peeing on her in the shower.
Now, what is wrong with peeing on somebody? I mean, yeah. Don't you pee in the shower?
Fair enough. But Hannah, for whatever reason, silly her, has a reaction about it. And it's not a good one.
Yeah, she completely freaks out and
but she doesn't break up with him. She doesn't throw stuff at him. She doesn't blow it out of proportion. She's obviously upset, but she loves him for it. Now, why is that?
You know what? It's very hard to understand why. The truth is, when somebody likes somebody, you're willing to put up with a lot more than you would otherwise. But the other truth, in my opinion, is you don't know what people value. And you just have to do the things that you enjoy and the things that makes you smile and laugh. And in Adam's case, you know, he thought that was funny. Now, in her opinion, it wasn't funny. But the great thing about this scene, again, is like he's sharing himself in some weird, funky ways in this scene, obviously. He's sharing, you know, oh, I think this is funny. You know, and obviously she didn't like it. But at the same time, you got to appreciate the fact that he's so uninhibited about who he is. And that's what actually makes him charming. Now, granted, he might not pee on her ever again. That's fine. But at the same time, he got to an understanding of who she was just because he was himself. And this is, to me, important in the sense that guys should remember that. Don't be so afraid of doing things out of fear of offending a girl, right? You will offend occasionally people. You will piss people off occasionally too. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing it. You should be doing it in consideration with how the person's going to react. And obviously, in this episode, Adam realized his mistake and he did this whole nice art wall of I'm sorry, which really touched her, which shows a more romantic side of him. But then again, at the end, what did he end it like? After he helps her get engaged by helping him glue the last paper, he's like, all right, now let's go fuck. But again, that's to show that, you know, there's nothing wrong with making mistakes. And a lot of guys, at least, who come to coaching, they are all afraid of success and they're afraid of making mistakes. You do not learn, you do not grow unless you falter and stumble a few times. You know, you will only learn by pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, by making mistakes, by losing girls, for that matter, more than you will gain one. But I remember one of my friend, he was very perceptive in this. He told me a long time ago when I was obsessing over a girl, or actually over a girl not responding to me. He was like, you know, Kim, in the end, all that matters is one. You may be obsessed about this one or whatever it is, but in the end, it might not be the one that you need anyway. So for you guys, don't worry so much about upsetting one girl or the next, because you know what? I mean, yes, you want to improve about who you are and be attractive and be seen, but at the same time, don't be afraid of catering to everything that the girl does and said, because the truth is, people's preference change. This is the one thing I learned. I don't remember how I learned this. But, you know, I remember when I was really young, I don't know about you, Evan, but in my college, I used to love to ask girls what they want in a guy. I would always ask them, so what kind of guy do you like? Oh, you know, and I would make a tally in my head and I'll try to be that for that girl that I secretly liked, right? But it never worked. You know, it never worked because, well, I wasn't being just me. I mean, the man in me, right? I'm not saying, you know. And that never worked. But now I realize that girls' preferences, or actually your preference as a guy in girls, is also determined by your past experiences. Most of the people that I talk to, what they like in a person is based on their previous experiences. Like, let's say a girl tells you, oh, I like guys who are buff, right? Well, there's obviously potentially just the sheer physicality of it, but it's usually because they've met a buff guy that they really feel secure with, that made them feel that way. So there's that emotional anchor that they attach to a guy who's buff. So they look for another guy who's buff. Does that mean that you, as a skinny boy, can't go out on a date with a girl who likes a buff guy? No. It just means that you might have to show her like why it's great to be with a guy who's skinny. Right? Because maybe you are making her feel secure, but in a very, very different way. And she won't know that until you've gone out on a few dates with her, until you've kind of shown what is so great about you.
I know. I think you're absolutely right about that. Well, so going back to the guy in the bar, There he is with Marnie and Jessa. He buys them drinks. Marnie, for whatever reason, is into the guy. Maybe
hey, come on, he's cute.
He's cute. You know, she likes the successful type. He looks like he's got something going on. And he seems to be charming her with his stories at the bar. Jess, on the other hand, I guess doesn't go for those types of guys. He's maybe a little too conventional for her. She's practically fallen asleep. But nonetheless, he is somehow able to convince at least Marnie, who drags along Jessa, to come back to his apartment.
Yeah. Well, from that scene, I will say what I liked about that scene so far. What I did like about him is he had something set up to invite the girls back.
A bottle of wine in this case.
A bottle of wine. Now, was it the most subtle way of inviting the girl back? No, obviously not. But the reason I want to point this out is actually I've had a few clients, actually recent clients, where they want to go out on dates, and I actually like to visit my clients at their homes when I can. I like to see how they live. I like to see how they live. I like to see what they do, how they set up their house. And the one glaring omission that a lot of inexperienced guys have is, like, they have nothing, no good reason for inviting a girl over. You know? Like, yeah, you may have, if you're a guy who likes to play video games, okay, you have your Xbox, that's great, but does that help you invite a girl over? Are you really going to invite a girl, hey, do you want to come over and play Xbox? You know, unless you're meeting a girl who's a gamer, great. Or if you have something more like the Nintendo Wii where you can do the party games, that's great. But you always want to start thinking about how do you want to get to a place where you can, for lack of better words, close the deal. You know, how do you get to a place where you can allow yourself to get intimate and personal with a girl? Whether it's physical, whether it's just emotional. I mean, you decide what you're looking for in the dating experience. But eventually, in the end, the reason you guys are going on dates is so they can hook up with girls. And great, you are just charming enough to get a girl number at the bar or on the streets or wherever you meet her at the club or at a friend's house. And great, you can take her on a date, whether it's dinner or, you know, whatever you take her on a date to. But is your house ready to invite somebody over? Is your house ready to close the deal? In this case, the great thing about this guy is he has something happening. His house is overly clean, generally speaking, clean. He has a wine. He's a terrible DJ, but at least he has something to entertain them with.
Yeah, although I have to say, I mean, I thought the mashups were almost a little too try-hard for my taste.
Yeah, it was try-hard, but that's another point I was trying to make. It's more like he has something he wants to share and yeah. entertain the girls with.
Yeah, absolutely.
So whether it's watching TV, whether it's having at least at your place, Evan, I know you are very big on music.
Right.
So a lot of things in your house are centered around music. You know, I've come to your house many times. You always turn on some music on. You have a few candles lying around. Not because you're trying to woo somebody, but you enjoy that. But not only you enjoy that, it kind of creates an atmosphere for people to relax and warm up to you, right? And that's the one thing I want guys to realize. You know, a lot of guys who are new to the dating scene is like, hey, they don't have anything. Do you have snacks around? Do you have drinks around so that, you know, at last minute when you meet a girl, very last minute, like maybe you meet her at the grocery store, hey, by the way, what are you doing after this? The spontaneous dates are the best.
Right. And frankly, the most simple thing is dessert.
Yeah.
A bottle of wine is almost, maybe a little too on the more romantic side, especially if it's red wine. But, it's easy to stock up a mochi ice cream in your go to Trader Joe's. You can get mochi, $3. You've got and it's more of a unique dessert, too. So it's not just ice cream. And there's actually a good possibility that they've never actually tried mochi before. It's more of a Japanese thing. So easy thing.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I think it's important to always have something set up to allow you to move the interaction along. Because in truth, in dating, the biggest reason why guys don't succeed is because they don't have anything set up to move it along. They go to a date, they talk. Now what? They have nothing to go. Okay, they go to dinner or maybe, I mean, most people don't have a plan, so to speak, to move the interaction forward. And I don't mean to be goal-oriented. That's not what I'm saying, right? I mean, outcome-dependent. You never know truly if you're going to sleep with a girl, right? But all you can do is move it along and align things so that you give yourself the chances to get there. if you have your house set up in a way that's inviting, if you have your bathroom clean enough so that she feels comfortable staying, if you have some food so she doesn't mind relaxing a little bit longer at your house, if you have a little bit of music to set up the mood, if you have maybe board games, if that's your thing, you know, to entertain her for a little bit so that you guys can get personal and intimate, that's what matters. So that's the good thing. The bad thing about this guy is what?
He's insecure. At the end of the day, he's insecure.
He's insecure. I mean, you know, he did okay. I mean, granted, he wasn't good at engaging Jessa. That's a total different topic that I won't go in depth about. But he wasn't good at making sure Jessa was having fun. You know, if you're going to invite people over to your house or a group of people, it doesn't matter if it's just two girls or a few girls and a few guys. It's like you have to make sure everybody's having fun. If not everybody's having fun, guess what? Somebody's going to cock block, you know? And that's what happened. Jessa is not feeling it, and obviously they came together, so she's not going to let it happen. The second bad thing is he tried so damn hard. I mean, you know, when the girls were making out, I couldn't help but cringe. He's trying to cop a feel left and right. He's acting like a horny dog. And there's nothing more repulsive than a guy not being in control of the arousal process. I mean, what do you know about that topic, Evan? I mean, you and I discuss a lot about it. I don't want to be just one talking here. But what do you know about that?
Well, in this case, he completely loses his shit when a wine gets spilled on the carpet. And this was a really hard scene to watch because he finds himself not being included in the makeout session between Marnie and Jessa and freaks out not only at the wine, but freaks out about the fact that he is not being included in any of the fun. I think we all can identify in some way or another of being excluded from something and feeling crappy about it. But his reaction to it, instead of encouraging it or letting it play out, is to start yelling at them and begging to be included. And that's the absolute wrong thing to do in that situation. You cannot beg. We talked in the last episode about the dad begging Jessa for sex. Again, another guy begging in the show to be included in the fun. And it turns out pathetic. You can't do that. You got to attract. You got to create attraction. You have to make yourself compelling. And in this case, he's going off on his turntables doing these mashups, and Marnie is kind of into it, not really into it. Jessa is definitely not into it. And how could he even expect that now they would want to include him in the fun when he's basically boring the shit out of them, at least at a very minimum, not engaging them in a compelling way?
Now, the funny thing about this is, I'm going to skip on the wine spilling for a minute. Now, if I was in his shoes and two girls are making out in front of me and I wanted to be included, what would I do differently? And this goes back to the very simple principle. Are you bringing more fun to the group? And here, the only way he could bring more fun is maybe, like, if he wants to be somewhat included, maybe he could start caressing Marnie a little bit. Making turning her on more, caressing her gently, not going straight for the crotch like he did, or straight for the boobs like he did, but like, you know, allowing her to relax, maybe slightly massaging the back of her neck while she's making out, or like gently caressing up and down her body, because he should have been able to see that Marnie was at least open to his advances a little bit, maybe not completely, but to a certain extent, right? So if by just doing and not focusing on his own needs right away, but focusing on creating an overall greater value to the group, like, you know what, I'm going to go along, play along, allow them to have their own fun and bring it fun, the fun even more by caressing her or the other one so that they enjoy themselves with each other, maybe eventually they would turn around and include him.
It's possible. Another thing he could have done is it was way too bright in there. If you want to set the mood for them to allow them to express themselves and have a ton of pleasure, he could have set the light down. He also could have changed the music.
Not only that, he could also be the director. You know, think of yourself as a porn director. You have two girls making out. I'm like, wow, that's really hard. You know, why don't you do this on here? Direct them a little bit. Women do enjoy sometimes being guided and directed. Yeah, they're having their own fun, but by directing them, it reminds them, hey, I'm here. Now, and then let it play out. Let it see if they eventually will include him or not, you know. And there's something arousing for women, too, to somehow act out under the direction of a man. You know, there's something that some women like. It's a form of leadership. It's a form of dominance. And it can be arousing, too. You know, because some women might want, like, you know what, it's I didn't plan it this way, but it feels like my own private porn session, right? And I kind of want to act it out. Because, as I said at the beginning, women are looking to create experiences. Now, this experience could be a fantasy she's never acted on. And he, maybe if you set it up that way by keeping her cool and playing it along, maybe she there would be a click in her mind like, wow, this is kind of hard. I kind of want to keep going and see where it goes. And you know what? That might be just what he needed to get there.
I'm fascinated by Lena Dunham and the perception that she has, because I think this character, this guy, embodies a lot of frustration of successful guys who, you know, as I said before, are kind of told, hey, you do X, Y, and Z, you're successful, blah, 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 you got the girl. And as we talked about, that's just, that's not it. That's not where it's at. And so his rant talking about how he worked hard. Do you know how hard it is to work? You girls don't work hard. You didn't work like I worked, blah, 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 all that stuff. And he may be right. He may, you know, Hannah was not there, but Marnie and Jessa, we don't know if they've worked all that hard. Jessa may be phoning it in at the art gallery. Marnie, I don't even know what she does. Does she do anything? And so, you know what? Hey, but the reality is that life ain't fair. And I have just extreme kudos to Lena Dunham for pointing that out and for highlighting that for us. This is something that people need to accept. Sometimes life ain't fair. He even goes so far as to point out that it's not fair that some people are born with better cartilage than other people. The reality is he may be right. And it doesn't matter because life ain't fair. And that's something that this character would be far better to accept and move on than to dwell on it and to throw it in their face and to beg like this.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I think we've covered it all in this episode. So guys and women, for whoever's listening, I'm really curious. How do you guys, have you actually experienced scenarios like this where a guy invited you over and it didn't work out that well because it turned into a creepy situation? And on the other hand, I'm really fascinated to hear more about people's thoughts on Adam himself. What did you enjoy about him? What did you rethought? Do you know somebody in your life that is kind of like him? And more importantly, for women, like, do you actually find him charming? And on that, I'll see you guys next week. Je cherche un homme, un Pierre, un Paul, un Jacques. Oh.